Hello, class. Welcome again. We're going to continue our class teaching on loyalty and disloyalty and how disloyalty, if not corrected and if not turned in the right direction, will lead to total dishonor. As you know, our class is on dishonor, but one of the things the Lord was showing me is that there are stages that happen to an individual before they just completely go in the area of dishonor. It doesn't, normal good church going people who love God and want to serve God, they don't just all of a sudden decide that I'm going to be a disloyal member, a disloyal employee, a disloyal person, and walk in dishonor. It's various stages, and just kind of let everybody know this area here that we're talking about is not in our book. I know a lot of you don't have the book. That's why I didn't really mention it much. But the teachings that I'm coming from is coming from a book called Loyalty and Dishonor, Disloyalty. And it's by an author by the name of T.A.G. Howard Mills. So if you have the book, you can follow along. But we're looking at 8 stages of disloyalty and how those 8 stages of disloyalty will lead to complete and total dishonor. Last week we talked about an independent spirit. A person who has an independent spirit, they feel that the rules don't apply to them. They're a loner. They don't want to be a part of the group. They work autonomous to anybody else. And we talked about that. We also said that that was stage number 1. Stage number 2 was offense. I didn't completely finish on offense, but we're going to continue because we're going to talk more about Absalom and how, because he was offended about something one of his brothers, Admon, did to his sister Tamar, how that offense led to passivity, which is number 3, also led to him having a critical spirit, you know, and then becoming political. All of these are staged. Political is number 5. Then there's a deceptive stage. There's an open rebellion stage. And number 8, last but not least, is execution. Well, execution means you just totally, you know, when something is executed, it's destroyed or it's annihilated. Walking in disloyalty will totally keep you out of all the blessings of God. If not corrected, like I said, it will lead to dishonor, and that's something that we want to make sure that we never do. And I find one of the best ways to teach on honor is to let people know what dishonor is, and we're going to look at areas and people in the Bible who did walk in honor, but it's so important that you see both sides. So when you see it, you can recognize it. You can see it in other people, but also too, if you see it in yourself, you can make the corrections. Okay, so we're going to continue talking about stage number 2 for a brief moment, which was the passivity stage. One of the last things I said last week was when we become offended, we often the process of recovery that God wants to do in our lives. And I also said it's so very important not to let the sun go down on your wrath. If a situation happens in your life or in ministry and there is a dissension, you need to get it straight. If there's any area of resentment, hatred, dissension between brothers or sisters or whatever needs to be corrected, because if not, it will lead to disloyalty and eventually lead to dishonor. So we're going to talk about Absalom. Absalom was David's son, one of David's sons, and Absalom, because of a situation, and I'm not going to read everything from the Bible, but just to let you know, if you want to follow along or read it later, you can go to 2 Samuel chapter 13, and really that whole 13th chapter of 2 Samuel talks about Absalom and some of the things that happened to Absalom that led to his dishonor. All right, let me go ahead on and get started. Absalom's David's son, he was grievously hurt because of 2 important events that took place. And that first event, which is found in 2 Samuel chapter 13, that chapter, that first his half-brother raped his sister Tamar. And he probably decided at that point when that happened that he was going to get even with Amnon. Amnon was his half-brother. Tamar was his sister. So the first thing that happened, like I said, Absalom's half-brother raped his sister Tamar. He probably decided that he was going to get even with Amnon at that very point. Okay. And that was a disgrace. Back in that time, if there was incest in the family, it was biblically condemned with death. David, who's Absalom's father, the second thing that disturbed David was that Absalom was that his father David did not deal with Amnon the way he was supposed to, because he should have been condemned to death from a biblical perspective at that time, but he wasn't put to death, and so David was very, I'm sorry, I'm getting the characters confused. Absalom was really that didn't sit well with him. So the Bible says King David was very angry with Amnon. However, he was under obligation to do more than just be angry. If he had done his duty, he would have fulfilled the law of Moses. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, and see her nakedness, the scripture says, this comes out of Leviticus 20:17, he shall be cut off or put to death. The penalty for incest in those days was death, but David failed to implement it, not putting Amnon to death. So Absalom continued to walk in offense, okay, unresolved conflict, unresolved issues with Amnon. He continued to walk in offense because of the incident, which opened the door of disloyalty to his father David, resulting in him walking in dishonor to the point where he committed the unthinkable of having Amnon put to death. Never forget this. Hurts, offenses, and unresolved conflicts will usher good church-going people down the road to disloyalty, which will cause them to walk in dishonor if it's not corrected. All right, so we're going to move on now to the third stage of disloyalty, which is passivity. After being offended, one of the things a person walking in offense, people who are offended allow the disloyal to creep into what becomes a passivity state. Passive means that you don't really do anything, you don't say anything, you don't get involved, you become passive or inactive, or I guess another word for you, you become kind of distant or cold. You know, you're not doing in ministry the things that you would typically do when you become passive, because of an incident or a harbored wrong or something that might have happened, you now become passive, and that's really the third stage of somebody walking in disloyalty. Let me read a little bit. When a person is in the passive stage of disloyalty, the process he or she goes through involves himself he doesn't involve himself, I should say, much at all in the church. They do not want to be bothered. They want to stay away. So when a person is in the passive states of disloyalty, the process, he or she does not involve himself in much that goes on in the church. If they were a member of the, an usher, they may step down from ushering. If they was a part of the praise team, they may step down or not come to practice as much. Whatever they were involved in, you find them being now more passive, more silent, more withdrawn to themselves. And these are signs of somebody who's been hurt. Somebody who, because of offense, and sometimes they may not necessarily have had an independent spirit, which was the first stage of disloyalty, but definitely because of some type of offense, it's now causing them to be passive. He or she, they watch unconcerned and uninvolved, and they they're not going to really have a really strong commitment, okay? Pastors and leaders must look out for people in the congregation who are indifferent or are unconcerned. They are potential separatists of the ship, you know, or deserters, you might say. They're about to fall off the truck, you know, because they're letting something, and they're not getting it, the issue resolved. And that's so very important. Watch out for uninvolved members. For instance, I consider members to be passive if they don't get involved in prayer meetings or small group activities in the church, or like I said, they drop the ball on certain assignments. A lot of times you see a person who they may sit up front, and then eventually they start working their way to the middle, then to the back, then closer to the door. The next thing, if you're not careful, you notice that they're gone. And all members of an organization are called to a vision. You know, every member of the body in that church, you're called to a vision. And it's so very important that you become actively involved in everything that's going on in the church. Because if not, you know, you're especially if that person was once heavily involved, heavily committed, very active, very vocal in promoting the vision of the ministry and the church. If the passivity stage begin to set in, you're gonna find that person become less involved, less committed, less active. There's a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 48 and 10, and in Jeremiah chapter 48 and 10 it says, "Cursed be he that does the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." I'm going to read that again. "Cursed be he that worketh, that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." Jeremiah 48 and 10. If they are not careful and get back in the game, or get back involved in the ministry as they should, they're just one step away from walking out the door because of that passivity state. You can see from this scripture that God expects us to get involved when there's work to be done or there's something to contribute. I always tell members and people who are part of a vision, God has called you to this vision for a reason. And how you pick up your assignment, what I mean by pick up your assignment, do what God called you to do, how well you promote and inspire, or, you know, encourage others to do the same, has a lot to do with how much your heart is in what you're doing. And when there's work to be done, it's so very important that we as men and women of God, you know, do the assignment and the work that God's called us to do. But what happens, because see, God he's gifted us. All gifts and talents and abilities are given by God for his glory, not for us to sit on, but to get involved. They need to be encouraged to get back in the game and develop their gift. You know, I always use the expression, you know, there's really no bench warmers in the body of Christ. God wants us all to be involved. God wants us all to use whatever gift, whatever talent, whatever ability God has blessed us with, so that we can not only be blessed ourselves, but that we walk in honor. See, when you begin to do what God's called you to do, you bring honor to God. And by doing so, God will honor you, because you're being a vital part of the body of Christ. You know, I always look at the body of Christ as individuals, but I always kind of correlate that to the physical body. I'll give you an example. When I exercise, and I exercise the members of my physical body, I feel better. I'll give you a good illustration. This past Saturday, me and two church members went to do some bike riding. We rode about 22 miles. I enjoy, you know, bike riding, not motorbike, but, you know, pedal bike, because it's good cardio exercise. And immediately the day after I came back, we came back from that ride, I noticed I felt better. My legs felt stronger. Just I began to notice, because I hadn't ridden since the first of the year, since I want to say January the 1st, me and my son, when I was up in Tampa, we did about 15, 16 miles. But it's been, this is, you know, the 24th or what have you. So it's been, two or three weeks. But just exercising my physical body brought a vitality, brought some added strength and just youth to my health and to my total outlook. And that reminded me I need to get back on my exercise routine, get back on my eating like I need to, and stay fit, because, you know, God has an assignment for me. No different in the area of you picking up the torch or carrying on the assignment. I always use the illustration, stay in your on your post, stay in your position, and give glory and give honor to God, what God has called you to do. And I always say, there's never no assignment that's too small or too, that sometimes people say, well, nobody sees what I'm doing. It doesn't matter. God sees. And what you do before God, where nobody sees it, God will reward you openly, because you're helping promote and advance the kingdom of God. All right, let me move on with passivity is dangerous, because you move rapidly into what is called the critical stage of disloyalty. In order to become critical, you must first be uninvolved. You know, and a person who's in the critical stage, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, getting into the fourth area, which is called the critical stage. A person who's critical always finds fault. They're always looking for fault. You must have enough time to scrutinize, because when you're passive, you're going to have enough time to scrutinize and to despise the church leaders. Don't you know that an uninvolved person will see all the faults, because they you know, not everybody's perfect, but if you're not involved, you're sitting back and you're being passive. It's the uninvolved person will notice that the workers are digging the ditch crooked, because they're looking and they're looking for fault. They're looking. If you look for fault, you're gonna find it. And then if you're not careful, you're gonna be critical of it. You know, instead of putting your hand to the plow and getting involved. The uninvolved leader is uninvolved for a reason. Why is that person quiet? I'm going to stop there for a moment. I've personally seen in my lifetime involved in the ministry where people, for whatever reason, got offended. You know, they lost a position, or just whatever, or something the apostle may have said, or just something rubbed them the wrong way. And I saw them go into a passive position. Didn't know what it was at the time, but I remember this one particular individual. As you know, I always say I'm full of stories, but God sometimes he just gives me wisdom to see certain things, and sometimes I'll just kind of tuck it under my belt, and then the Lord will either give me scriptures or I'll read something, and he'll go back and say, this is what happened to that individual, and this is why this took place. But this particular individual, getting back to my story, was extremely blessed, extremely anointed, talented. God had blessed him, you know, and I'm not going to go into the specifics because that's not important. And as I noticed them being more passive, I can see the countenance on their face had kind of dropped. And being over prison ministry, I knew that they needed to get involved. They needed to put their hand to the plow. They needed to whether it's work to do, they needed to get involved. And so I invited them to become a part of the prison ministry so they can continue to exercise their gift and continue to move forward in the things of God. And the individual said, says, Brother Calhoun, I'm going to pray about it. And if the Lord tells me to get involved, I will. I said, okay, well, just let me know. And so every Sunday I would see the individual. I just look at him. And that individual would look at him and say, the Lord hadn't told me nothing yet. It's okay. I mean, the next Sunday, the Lord hadn't told me nothing. But each time I see him getting more and more passive, more and more reserved, more and more almost even defensive to some degree. you know. And it got to the point that one day I looked around, they weren't even members anymore. And that hurt me to my heart, because my desire was to try to pick them back up and get their hand back on the plow, get them back in the game, get them back involved in ministry. But, you know, that didn't happen. Years later, I saw that same individual at an event that my son was at, and one of their relatives was at the same event. And so we began to talk. This was maybe 10, 12 years later. I can't remember. But one of the questions I asked this individual, I said, "Have you done any ministry since you left the Word of Life?" The person hung their head down and says, "No, I haven't." And that hurt me to the core, because I know I saw the gift. I saw the talent and the ability God had placed in an individual. But to see it go dormant, you know, is that's, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift, you know, coming down from the Father of life, and where there's no variableness and there's no shadow of turning. And you're going to have to give account for not, you know, doing your part in the kingdom of God. You know, but that's what happens when a person gets into that passive stage. Let me move on, because my time is well spent. Amen. All right. You must have enough time, a person who's passive must have enough time to scrutinize and despise the church leaders. You don't know that an uninvolved person more readily sees the fault in others. So an uninvolved person, they more readily see the faults in others. They develop a critical eye. They see mistakes, faults, shortcomings in others more readily. They say it's the bystander, and I already said that, who sees the workers digging a crooked ditch. Okay, remember the story of Absalom? We're going to get back to Absalom, who went through the stage of passivity. After nothing was done to his brother Admon, the scripture says that Absalom, and this is found in 2 Samuel 13, and I could almost tell you exactly what scripture it is. I'm looking for the scripture right now, because I want to point it out. Okay, this is 13 and 22. It says, "He, Absalom, spake unto his brother Admon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Admon, because he had forced his sister Tamar." In other words, he forced her into having sex with her. But he didn't say anything good or bad. You know, but he hated him. So hatred had developed. All right. Absalom was doubtfully angry with his half brother, but said nothing to him for 2 whole years. The scripture says this is passivity, doing nothing, saying nothing, not getting that issue resolved, not letting it go. It's not, certain things are not worth harboring, because whatever sins you retain will be retained unto you, and whatever sins you remit are going to be remitted, and you're going to let it go. But it'll eat you like a cancer. Do not overlook silent, disdain or people who have nothing to say or nothing to contribute. They are entering into a passive stage, headed towards disloyalty, and they will end up doing something that'll cause them to be dishonored. Amen. And Absalom spake unto Admon, neither, like I said, neither good nor bad. That's 2 Samuel chapter 13 and 22. But notice again this indifferent person, Absalom, quickly degenerated into a murderer when the opportunity presented himself. There was a situation where Absalom went to David, and something was going to be transpiring where they needed some sons to do some things. And so Absalom requested that Abner go along on the journey. And so what had happened was, and I'm going to read what it says here. Absalom had commanded his servants, when Absalom's heart, because whatever it was, there was a feast or a little get together involved where, you know, wine was involved. And Absalom told his servants, he says, Absalom commanded his servants, when Abner's heart is merry with wine, then kill him. That's 2 Samuel 13 and 28. I have watched people. people in the church become passive after they were corrected of an offense, you know, because they were off-ended and they never got it straight. They stay to themselves, get closer and closer to the door to make a quick exit, because they don't want to ruffle nobody's feathers. Many times they leave the church emotionally before they leave the church physically. All right, and that's the passive stage. But then a person that stays and they hangs on, they leave from just being passive now to the next stage, which is stage four, which is being critical. Okay, for those people who do not leave and move on, they move on to the next stage. A disloyal person is not passive forever. Okay, he or she progresses into the next stage of being critical. Are having a critical spirit, as some would say. Okay, listen up about this particular stage. It says, in this stage of noticing and magnifying faults, errors, shortcomings of others, in other members, even the pastor of the church, he or she finds fault with the preaching of the word and even the order of service. That person is, they're always looking for. I'm going to read that again. This is the stage of noticing and magnifying faults, errors, shortcomings of others. In other members, even the pastor of the church, he or she, this person finds fault with even the preaching of the word or the way the order of the service. They're fault finders. They become to be critical. He analyzes the building and notices the deficiencies of the surroundings. Instead of trying to do something about it, you know, they might be litter. And they say, well, you know, the person who's the custodian, they're not picking up the trash, you know, but you pass right by, but you don't pick it up and put it in the trash can. So you're becoming just critical of little things. Instead of putting your hand to the plow to helping out, you now become critical of small little matters of the way things are handled, because now you become a fault finder. Amen? Okay. Listen up. We had a member who had a problem with the. Now this is something that happened, and I could elaborate on because I was directly involved. Years ago, and I might have even shared this before, but it resonates on the inside of me. We had a membership care program where we still do have it now, but we were just getting it started, and one of my circle leaders, he and his wife, who were one of the first circle leaders, matter of fact, had stopped attending church. Called them up. Find out what was going on. Right around that same time, and this might have been maybe the second jet that Apostle had, there was an opportunity for them to get a hangar for the jet so that they can store jet fuel. It just made things more convenient. You had a place to store the jet, you had a place to sit down and relax at a lounge. I've never been in there, but it was a hangar. And when they found out that, you know, this was going to take place, they thought that the money could have been used for something else. Instead of building this hangar, this money could have been given to the poor. That's basically what he told me, you know. And needless to say, they left the church. Matter of fact, as a leader, I let my man of God know. He told me to go. Get all all the circle leaders had books and information, said get all that from him and let him know he's dismissed, you know, because you don't want nobody in your ranks that's going to be disloyal and don't understand the vision. A lot of times there's things I may not quite understand, but there's certain things that are above me, and I have this motto or this saying that, you know, when I don't understand something, you know, I'm on a need to know basis, and certain things I don't need to know. You know, I want to, you know, because a lot of times you don't see the big picture. You know, I always use this illustration about an aircraft carrier, or I should say, well, aircraft carrier has a control tower, and planes are flying in all over the place. Even though the planes may have a radar, and even, you know, at a commercial facility. They can only see so far, but the person in an air traffic control center up high, they have sophisticated equipment and they can see for miles, hundreds of miles. So they can give direction to the pilot, even though the pilot may not quite see the storm. He may say, I want you to you know, fly at say 5,000 feet and stay there, or 10,000 feet and stay there until I call you back. And it's imperative that the pilot follows the instruction of the air traffic controller, because his life may depend upon it, and the lives of the people inside the plane that he's flying. Many times your man of God or your woman of God, God will give them a vision or an insight about things in the future, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and you may not get that revelation. But it's your job to follow the instructions of your leader and not to be critical of it. Because when you be critical of those type of things, that only shows that the symptoms of disloyalty that's harbored on the inside. And if it's not corrected, it's going to lead to you walking in dishonor. All right, let me move on. Okay, let me give you a good illustration. Miriam had become critical of Moses. Miriam had become critical of Moses. She had followed Moses' leadership all the way out of Egypt and headed towards the promised land. But she began to see his faults and his humanness. And she spoke against Moses concerning the Ethiopian woman that he had married. Now, even though Moses was her brother and she was an older sister, and one of the things I talked about last semester, how she was Moses' intercessor, and she was the one that put him in the Nile, and the queen, I mean the princess found him and raised him up in royalty, and she kind of was the one who actually got her mother to be like a midwife or a nanny or so for Moses, who cared for Moses while he was, you know, in the palace. You know, so Miriam was kind of watched over Moses, but that still did not give her a right to intervene in Moses's personal life, because God says, Moses, I some people I speak to in dark speeches and similitude, but with Moses, my servant, I speak to him mouth to mouth. Who are you to judge and to criticize my man Moses? Because Moses was God's apostolic leader for that time, leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And because of that, she became critical, and her criticalness led to her being stricken with leprosy and had to stay out of the camp for a while. So there's consequences of being critical. Let me read this scripture in Matthew 15:17-19. Do not ye understand that whatsoever entereth the mouth goeth out into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things that proceeded out of the mouth cometh forth out of the heart, and they defile a man. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceeded evil thoughts, murderous, adulterous, fornications, thieves, false witnesses, blasphemers. Someone once said, your point of view depends on your viewpoint, on how you see something. Your point of view depends on how you're looking at it. Sometimes people are looking at things through speckled glasses, and they're not seeing clearly, or they don't have ears to hear and eyes to see. They're looking at things from the natural and not from the spiritual. And so very important. Critical people always have a negative point of view. As one lady told me, and this was, I'll never forget this, this is an actual case situation. We were about to start up our cell ministry a second time, and she asked me, are you and your wife are going to be a cell leader? And I said, yeah, we're going to be a cell leader. She said, so you guys are itching for abuse. And this was a leader in the church telling me that I'm itching for abuse. The Lord told me to kind of mark that person. You know, a year later, if that long, they left the church. You know, there's always going to be sometimes a sign. Something somebody says or do, they become critical. They become critical when they should be loyal, obedient, trustworthy, faithful servants, good stewards, you know, of the ministry. They let some incident or something now cause them to be critical. And then that leads to them to the next stage, which is the fifth stage of being political. When a person becomes political, he tries to involve others in his philosophies and ideas. Politicians operate on the power of public opinion. And I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to say that politicians a lot of times operate on the power of public opinion. In other words, if you say something long enough, you're going to get people to believe you. You know, if you say a lie enough, people are going to believe a lie. That's why it's so important. The Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. That's why it's so important to know how to hear the voice of God and how to discern. Having the spirit of discernment is so very important because it's so easy for somebody to lead you astray. And a person who's in the political stage, this is what they do. What people think and say is what concerns them the most. When a person is becoming disloyal, he tries to involve other people in their treacherous or devious ideas. Okay, he wants to gather a following and make people believe that he is identifying a real problem that must be addressed. This is exactly what Absalom, going back to Absalom in the Bible again, did. Because of his hurt or his in the offensive stage, he said nothing for 2 years, very passive. He became undutifully analytical of David's policies. David was his father, the critical stage. Now he is moving into and being involved in dishonorable or disloyal thoughts. And Absalom said unto them, "See, thy matters are good and right, and there is no man who's deputized or who's put in a position of the king to hear, you know, your complaints." And so what happened is in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 15 and 3, Absalom would stand outside the city or stand in a certain place. And as people were coming in from different parts of the country who might have had either had a complaint or had an issue they needed to resolve, Absalom would intercept them. And you'd have to read 2 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to read a little bit. My time is well spent. But it says here, this is 2 Samuel 15, 1 through 6. After this, Absalom got a chariot and horses and 50 men and ran before him. Now, this is the Amplified version. And he rose up early and stood outside the gate. And when any man who had a controversy came to the king for judgment, Absalom called to him, "Of what city are you?" And he would say, "Your servant is from such of the tribe of Israel." And Absalom was saying to him, "Your claim is good and right, but there is no man appointed as the king's agent to hear you." And Absalom added on that "I will judge in this land. Then every man with any suit or cause might come to me, and I will do him justice." So Absalom now was being political. He was trying to persuade public opinion away from his father David, who was the leader, over to him. A person with a political spirit, you know, who already was critical, now they're taking that criticalness. Alexis, stop. I got a minute left. But a person with a critical spirit who turned political will try to sway public opinion in their area. The Bible tells us that Absalom sat at the gate of the city. When anybody came to see the king, he would ask them if they had a problem. He would then listen carefully and sympathize with them. He explained to the people, it is a pity that the king had no time to hear you today. You know, unfortunately, you know, what he was doing was just trying to sway the public opinion towards him, you know, and eventually it led to him going against his father, and there was a battle, and you know, but King David triumphed. But anyway, in conclusion, everything that I've shared today has to do with how, give me a second, how disloyalty and the stages that we have talked about, how those stages, if not corrected, will lead to dishonor. You know, we've talked about areas of how to walk in honor, but we also need to know what happens when a person becomes disloyal in various areas, and slowly that dishonor will lead to dishonor. And my desire for each and every one of the students in this class is that you're not going to be, I'm not going to say you're not going to be tempted, but when the temptation comes, when the urge is there, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the things that were said in this class, and you will get that criticalness out, get that controversial issue, settle the matter, and walk in honor. And with that said, I'll see you next week. Be blessed.